Majority Rights Radio, the bleeding edge of the radical right.
Hello.
Hello, and we're on Majority Rights Radio. We're trying out the new pod slice format this morning, so we'll be only speaking for 20 or 30 minutes. James Bowery is our guest this morning, and James, I believe you are going to be talking about the Laboratory of the States platform.
That's correct. Should I just go into it?
Yes, that's how radio works.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes interviews start with a question, but the question is, what is the Laboratory of the States platform?
Wait, I think I can do this. James, okay. What is the Laboratory of the States platform?
There you go. Bring all troops home and make the top priority of the federal government to protect U.S. territory from trespass. Only one federal tax, 5% per year on land value, no filing. Individuals own the first $80,000 of land value tax-free. And the last plank is turn over all federal programs to the states with funds apportioned by the number of adult citizens.
So, by Laboratory of the States, what Laboratory of the States means is that the states become, that the United States becomes a laboratory and each state becomes an experiment.
Essentially, yeah, with voluntary human subjects.
Right. Now, my first question about it is going to be technical.
Okay.
Why $80,000 and not the $160,000 homestead exemption that we were discussing before?
The tradition of the
Giles interview, for instance.
Yeah. There's a tradition in common law that goes back really to the foundation of civilization, which is that people are entitled to a certain amount of subsistence territory, sometimes called a homestead, that they would possess in the absence of a government. In other words, on the strength of their own individual ability to defend their territory, just as animals do. And it's really quite questionable whether it's appropriate to tax that homestead value, since it's really kind of it's a given. It's something that people...
Oh, no, I understand. I understand the exemption. I just noticed that it is halved in size from the Giles interview. It used to be 160,000. I was just asking why that. I mean, I assume...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the reason for that is I'm talking about individuals as opposed to households. Households usually meaning a couple.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right, fine. That's good. Now... this platform comes out now because you think this is essentially a follow-on. This is something that's supposed to appeal to the Ron Paul type people, the Tea Party types, right?
This is something that the current political situation has a populist potential that goes way beyond that.
Right. Oh, I'm not saying you don't transcend all your progenitors here, but this really takes Henry George and William Jennings Bryan and brings them up to date, right? This is like those guys now.
Yeah, in a sense, what it's doing is bringing together the Protestant Reformation and the scientific method into a modern form, which finishes the work of the founders, which was to try to be scientific about society. And I'm not talking about the Marxist idea of a scientific society, which is not based on experiment. In other words, they don't. Their approach is more of the 20th century's view of sociology, which is we'll all argue with each other over a bunch of data that doesn't involve controlled experiments. And whoever can argue better wins. That means basically the Jews win because their verbal intelligence and history of selection for that kind of argumentation is without question among the premier in the world.
All right. James, here's a question from the thread. It's a comment from the thread on your Laboratory of the States platform and Majority Rights. This is from Euro. Now, remember, I don't necessarily understand these questions at all. But Euro asks, didn't the laboratory of the states blow up in scientists' faces not too long ago? What can Iowa do that Virginia couldn't? Frankly, I don't understand that.
Well, it's one of those things where somebody's coming in and basically having bad reading comprehension and then making it so that, you know, I have to decide whether I want to respond to them at all.
Okay, so I'll take that as a no. You don't want to respond to them. Okay. Well, there's no other good questions on the thread. So let me think. All right. So why don't you talk about the pressure for that you see for the populist revolution in the United States? Why is this? Why is the time now, right now, for a Darwino-Georgist revolution?
Because of the fact that the rent-seeking that has taken place in recent history has become unsustainable, and it is obviously unsustainable to the vast majority of the population. These measures, these planks in the platform, directly address rent-seeking, both in the private and the public sector. They address it in the private sector by virtue of the fact that the majority of economic rent is derived from the fact that everybody has to have land, and it is a fixed asset. It's got an inflexible supply. And therefore, when you have general growth of the economy, it creates unmerited windfalls for landowners, simply because of the fact that they own land. In other words, they get more money because they had money, in essence.
Right.
That's a private sector form of economic rent. The public sector form of economic rent is in this phrase that people normally use to describe pork barrel politics or special interest politics, which essentially means that people have to invest in buying government influence so that they can use the government against their competitors.
Rent seeking, was that? You know that Italian economist, who am I thinking of? I think his
Ricardo.
Name was, no, the Italian guy. Starts with a P, I think, or an F.
A betrayal? What was his name? I can't remember his name either, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think he talks a lot about rent seeking. Interesting guy.
Well, yeah, there's economic rent, there's rent seeking, there's a different, one rent seeking in the modern sense is indirectly related to the what a lot of people called Ricardian rent, and that's the kind of rent, that land rent, that Henry George focused on. The public sector rent seeking is the modern interpretation of rent seeking. The classical interpretation is private sector rent seeking, but they're both rent seeking. They're both basically trying to harvest unmerited profit from the externalities of a productive economy.
Could you give me an explanation of regulatory capture as it relates to rent seeking with reference to a specific example? You can make the example up if you want, but you know, a specific corporation or interest group, specific legislation, you know.
Well, I can talk about my personal experience that sort of launched me into this entire area of political.
Ah, yes, but that's burned. You already explained that with Giles, with the space thing.
I did.
Yeah, right. So
we don't want to cover that. Okay. So what we want to do is talk about some other example that I not have direct experience with.
And you can even make it up.
Well, no, I think the most recent and gross example is the regulatory capture of the financial services industry and the SEC. Now, this has been going on for a long time, but more recently, people have finally recognized that this is, in fact, what has happened, where the Wall Street folks have been able to essentially buy the regulatory apparatus of the United States that is supposed to keep the Wall Street people from abusing certain privileges that they are granted by the United States regulatory authorities. In other words, you have to be licensed to do certain things in the financial markets by the government, and that's supposed to go hand in hand with certain regulations that you adhere to in order to be given that license. So what they've done is they've gone to those regulatory agencies that license them, that are, and essentially just use those licensing agencies to do nothing except keep out the competition and to use government authority to further enhance their own power to the point that it's totally corrupt now, and things like this.
And they've also captured private regulators. By private regulators, what I mean is the bond rating agencies.
Well, yeah, that tends to happen as a direct result of the public sector capture because of the fact that you can essentially control who those people are.
Right.
You've got, one of the things that's going on is, for example, the Federal Reserve is the primary source of funds for academic research and economics. And so you end up with this hierarchy of thought about economics that is driven from the point of view of the folks that run the Federal Reserve.
Can you hold that thought while we break for a short message from our sponsor?
Property Rights Radio is supported by Jack Smyce. Jack Smyce, setting the gold standard in genetic purity, and by the Laboratory of the States. Here is what you can do.
The 2010 election cycle is rapidly approaching. It's extremely important that each of us register, report them, and attend our local precinct caucus. Register as the party not currently in office with the U.S. House of Representatives from your district. Contact your county recorder for a precinct.
James, welcome back. You were speaking about regulatory capture.
Yeah. So one of the things that you have to do is for public sector rent-seeking limitations, you have to basically decentralize or devolve a lot of these powers. And one of the ways to do that is by creating competition between the states. So you can't just go to one place and buy up all the regulatory power. You're now going to have to buy off 50 different regulatory apparati, if that's the proper plural, in order to achieve an ultimate control or an ultimate monopoly.
Right, and that relates to your third plank, turn over all federal programs to the states.
Right, and so what happens then is the states are then competing with each other to create the most attractive human ecology.
Right, and interestingly, don't you think that your platform is quite similar to what Alex Linder is saying, and also Norman Lowell, namely, you describe the federal government brings all the troops home and makes the priority the protection of U.S. territory from trespass, and I suppose also the internal security, although probably, we don't want to talk
about that. The internal security is far. I mean, you're talking about like the FBI, which is sort of the primary.
I'm thinking of Alex's idea for you have authority on top and freedom underneath. So you have a racial dictatorship on top, and though that's not part of your platform, of course, and right. You have essentially a libertarian system underneath. That reminds me, in the idea that has authority on top, but then everything below that is quite free, and Norman Lowell's Imperium and Dominium, where you have Imperium, the empire, at the top, masculine, but everything under that is dominium, feminine, libertarianism, freedom. So I'm just saying there's a similarity between what you three say. I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm saying that there's this isomorphism.
Well, I'm not in a position to criticize or comment on their theories, but yes, there are similarities in the sense that in any hierarchical situation, you have to allow a certain amount of freedom to the lower orders and retain certain kinds of authority to the higher orders. The question is, what's the appropriate division? And
right.
The idea of having a territory that you defend from those that are essentially not willing to respect your primary values is, I think, key to what lets you talk about the highest level of governance.
Do we know that the states, let's assume that your states are the present states, the 50.
Right.
How do we know that those are the right size entities, that those are at the right level to perform as the experimental entities underneath the federal system.
Well, you don't.
Right. Okay.
What you know is that it is the obviously most stable state that is the closest to what we currently have that's progress. In other words, if we simply devolve, where are we going to devolve to? Well, we could devolve to the 12 Federal Reserve districts. We could devolve to the counties. But I think it's pretty obvious from history that the place to do it first is to the states. And then what you do is you try to figure out, once you have the states back in their proper role within the Federation, then you start to try to come back to an understanding of what the original intent of the Federation was, of the Republic was. And once you understand that original intent better, then you can start talking about rearranging boundaries and things of that nature, and how you go about changing territorial boundaries of the states, etc.
So is there a possibility that the states could apply the same transformation that previously applied to the whole country? That is to say, is it possible that a state might devolve to its own counties?
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily totally devolve. I think that it's more like an inheritance hierarchy, if you will, that the state would have certain common propositions that it was testing in all of its counties. And each of the counties would be doing variations.
Right. Well, James, thank you very much. We're out of time in this new shortened pod slice format.
Okay. But-